Mary, could I get you to turn the sconces on? Thank you. Get a little more light in here, especially toward the back of the sanctuary. That's a little better, isn't it? Okay. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Malachi chapter 4, last book of the Old Testament. And if you're in Mrs. Natalie's class, you recognize this book as Malachi, who Rick Azud refers to as the Italian prophet. Malachi chapter 4. We're going to finish up this study in Malachi this morning. And you remember that last week in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1, the prophet writes this: "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, in that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, let me just mention something about the Lord of hosts. That's one of the powerful names of God. The Lord of hosts is this one eternal God that has all the angelic realm, the host of God, at his beck and call. How powerful, how glorious a name that is. Verse 4, this is his message: "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him at Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we've had this study of great admonition and warning, and then also of loving exhortation to your wayward people in the day of Malachi. It reminds us so much of the day in which we live. And Lord, we know that you have told us that you are unchanging, the unchanging God. You're the same as always, and you ever will be. And we thank you, Lord, for this teaching of your eternality, that nothing can change you. You are the eternal God, the Lord of hosts. You have had the opening word. You have given us your word, and you will have the ending word of all things. And blessed be the people that recognize you as their God. Blessed are the people that fear thee. And Lord, we pray that we would all be in that number. A people in this dark world, that we would be children of light and walk as in the day, looking for and hastening to the coming day of Jesus Christ, our Lord's return. Bless us now as we study and conclude this wonderful little book. In Jesus' name, amen. This great Lord of hosts is going to come. We know he's promised to come, and when he comes, the Lord is going to discern or judge between the righteous and the wicked. And all men, every one of us, ought to be aware of that. When is that going to happen? In the coming day, he said in the first verse, The day cometh. When is that day going to be? Wouldn't you like to know? We're told in the scriptures in the New Testament that no man knows the day or the hour. But we can, as discerning Christians, know the signs of the times. We can know that we're drawing closer to the end times by the way the world is, the behavior of mankind, and their reaction to what God says. But it's going to come. And for those who are unrighteous, it's going to be a terrible day. The Bible tells us that it's going to be a burning as in an oven. The day of the Lord is a time when all wrongs of all the ages will finally be put right. Won't that be a great day? We wonder how come this goes on like this and seems like wickedness is left unpunished. Listen, the mill wheels of God grind slowly but ever so fine. And the day is coming, and it surely will come, when everything, all the wrongs, will be made right. So after this prophecy of rebuke and warning and exhortation, Malachi promises he closes with these wonderful promises. We started looking at them at the end of chapter 3, where, remember, in chapter 3 and verse 16, if you just look over, it says, "Them that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written about them." So we have this promise that there are those that still fear the Lord. That's what we oftentimes refer to as a remnant of believers. And God has promised that there will always be a remnant of believers. And we, raise your hand if you want to be in that number, the remnant of believers. That's right. We want to be in that number. The people who are known as the people of God, who still believe what he says. And he says, "They are my jewels," he tells them. What a beautiful picture of faithful believers. Precious jewels are bought with the price. The price of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're precious in his eyes. We are polished jewels, polished by trials and tribulations and being aggravated in this world. We are, one day we will shine in glory and splendor in that day. And also Christ is pictured for us as the Son of Righteousness. To the church, we saw last week that he is the bright and morning star of Revelation chapter 22. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. And when he comes in glory and brightness, as it says in Mark's account of the transfiguration, he will be so bright that no fuller on earth could make them any whiter. What a sight that's going to be when Jesus Christ comes again. And all this leads to the great declaration concerning the coming of the day. Notice it's twofold. Toward the wicked, it's going to be a day of burning and destruction. Toward the righteous, it will be a day of healing and salvation. And in closing, Malachi calls the people of God to remember the law of Moses. Now, we no longer consider ourselves a people that are under the law of Moses. Why? Because Christ, when he died, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ, when he died, broke down the law that was standing against us. He nailed it to his tree. You see, none of us could completely keep the law of Moses, could we? You might do okay with some of those commands. But if James said, if any man offend in one point, he's guilty of all the law. And so, but we're still told to, in this last chapter of Malachi, the people of God, we're told to remember the law of Moses. And that is signifying that God is holy and sovereign. And that certainly applies to us today, that we who are under grace, we don't sin that grace may abound. We know that we're under the law. We know that we can't keep the whole law. We know that he's given us the Spirit of God to convict us of sin, so we are able to live a life that's pleasing to him, but we are mindful. And I believe that's what Malachi's call was. He was calling the people of God to be mindful, to remember this holy and sovereign God. And he's watching out for his people. In fact, you're considered his jewels. What a blessing. For the righteous, it's going to be a day of salvation and of perfect healing. And so Malachi's telling us, remember. And he also tells us that there's going to be, before the coming day, there's going to be a herald that's going to come forth. It's going to be Elijah / John. We studied early on in one of the early chapters of Malachi that this figure, Elijah, was also a reference to the forerunner known in the New Testament as John the Baptist. And he was going to come and appear before the day of the Lord. And he is going to be the forerunner of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's one indication that we are getting closer and closer, and certainly now is our salvation closer than when we first believed. But he ends this solemn suggestion with this solemn suggestion of judgment, that he is going to smite the earth with a curse. Wow. Look at your Bible. That's the last word of the Old Testament. What is the last word of the Old Testament? Curse. That's significant. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But Malachi, his words, his voice is going to cease, and there's going to be silence for 400 years of silence before the New Testament. And that word, the last word of the Old Testament, curse, is left ringing in our ears. One author observed this: the book of Genesis shows how the curse entered the human race, and Malachi indicates the curse still threatens. The book of Matthew begins with the son of David, the son of Abraham, who came to be made a curse by hanging upon a Roman tree, the cross, becoming a curse for sinful people, that we might have blessings and joy and eternal life through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the only through the Messiah, Jesus the Lord, can Israel and people escape the awful curse. He has described the people's condition and told them of God's infinite love, and he makes this final announcement. And his final announcement in this chapter is this: that God is not abandoning them or the world. That day is coming when the Son and the Son, S-U-N and S-O-N, will arise. The sun of the burning heat, like an oven, will consume those that are in unrighteousness, and the sun, S-O-N, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the blessing to God's people. And I sense that there is a tone of compassion in this whole book, even though the people of God were so belligerent and arrogant against God. It starts off with the Lord saying, "Have not I loved you?" And they say, "Wherein have you loved us?" They doubted. They questioned God's love. And all through the book, even though God is revealing to them and asking him, he's interrogating the people of God. And he's asking them questions. By the way, that's a good way to get to the heart of the thing. Ask questions. And God is asking all these questions, a series of questions, through the book of Malachi. And he's causing the people to react to what he's saying. But their reaction that we read about in the opening chapters of Malachi is not a good one. They're arguing with God. But all through all that, isn't it amazing? And doesn't it show us the glorious character of God, that he still cares for wayward people? And there's this pathos in his voice, in the tone, he's compassionate toward those who are lost. You know, it's been a blessing for me all these years to be active in gospel ministry and spending and being spent for this worthy cause of Jesus Christ, and to be preaching peace by Jesus Christ, because he is the Lord of all. And I'm so thankful for that. We know that Jesus Christ is this one who is altogether lovely. He's worthy of our best from the very fiber of our souls and being. And we ought to give our best to the Master. Harry Ironside explained these closing words like this. He said, a Redeemer has been promised, and where there was faith in any who felt the seriousness of their condition, that is their sinful condition, they looked on to the coming seed of the woman who has bruised the serpent's head and himself was made a curse. That takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, where it tells us that the fall of man, and that this seed of the woman was the first indication of promise that God was going to do something for this lost humanity that had fallen in sin. It was the seed of the woman. And that is significant when it comes to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because in procreation, the woman has no seed. It is the man's seed, but it was the first indication that there was going to be something supernatural about the seed of the woman. It was going to be the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, this one who had no earthly father, this one whose father was God. And this individual was going to come, and he was going to be made a curse for us. And he was going to bruise the serpent's head. That is a fatal blow to Satan. You see, when the day comes, not only are all those who are in unrighteousness going to lose the battle and be burned up, guess what? All the enemies of God, including Satan himself, are going to finally be cast into the lake of fire and doom forever and ever. Won't that be a glad day? But all that put their trust in him, that they might be redeemed from the doom that they had so long and fully observed. Peter put it this way in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him, God, the Lord, give all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. Through him alone can guilty men who admit that they're lost and need his grace, they can be delivered from the curse. Here it is again, this word curse. And I'd like to conclude my study with Malachi with this thought, and I think it's a very instructive, and it's very interesting that the final word of the Old Testament is this word curse. While the first word of the Messiah's sermon on the Mount is blessed, where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, in the Sermon on the Mount, and he goes on and he says this word blessed over and over again. And the last word in the New Testament in Revelation 22 and verse 21 is this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we have the last word of the Old Testament is curse, reminding us that we are still seeing the evidence of the curse. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene full of grace and truth, and he was saying, blessed be the people of God, there was a new light, there was a new day after 400 years of silence, and it went from curse to blessing and God's grace. And I think that's very interesting. There's been a whole generation of people, generations of people, who've been swallowed up in spiritual darkness. It's what John Bunyan referred to as the slough of despond, the spiritual swamp. We've been hearing about a swamp, down midway, down the country somewhere. You know where I mean, don't you? The swamp. But that swamp is all over the world, isn't it not? Is it not? I mean, there's a spiritual darkness. There's a spiritual slough of despond. And if we're not careful, pilgrims, we can fall into that just as well. When Christian met up with Obstinate and Pliable, who wanted Christian to return to the city of destruction, we knew something was going to happen that wasn't going to be good. So sure enough, though Obstinate turned back, Christian and Pliable went on, and they both fell into the slough of despond. They both fell into the swamp. Remember that? Until they were pulled out by God's helper. And then from there, one went back and Christian went forward. And that is the only way out, is the help that God gives. And here we have this Lord God Almighty telling us, yes, the world is cursed. The world is going to be cursed by God. There is a day coming. And that reminds us as a people of God to be aware and to be vigilant and to be sober, because we know that it's coming. A day is coming when all things will be made right when the Lord returns. And we're told that all these things were written aforetime for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. Listen, we do have hope. Don't look at the world around you. Don't listen to all that news. Just listen to what God says. We have all we need to know. We have the current news right here. We need to be aware that Jesus Christ is coming again. And that's how he concludes the last book, the last chapter of the Old Testament. And we have this blessed hope open up for us in the New Testament. These things happened for examples, and they're written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Listen, trust in God. This is the promises that we have. They're made. We need the help of God. We need each other. We need to help each other along the way to stay awake and vigilant and sober. The truth is, if we depart from the living God, woe is certainly to follow. Troubles come when we forget and disobey God. But blessings come when we remember who he is and obey him. This is how the book started in Malachi. It started off with the burden of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. This was a burden. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Malachi, the burden of the Lord. And every church has this burden. Every true church has this burden upon us that drives our gospel work with this great divine force of God, because God's burden is still for this world. And we, as God's children, we share that burden, we carry that burden, but we also carry this word of great hope and grace to a lost and dying world. It must be the driving force of the church's work until that day comes, until Jesus Christ comes again. And so, let us be faithful until Jesus comes again. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for allowing us to have this time in the blessed study of Malachi. And Lord, we would ask that you would make these things real and powerful to us, and that you would impart to us more and more light as we see the day in which we're living. We know we want to be on your side. We want to be in your blessed camp of all the glories that come through knowing and following Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to take a stand and look to thee and be a blessing to each other and to lost souls all around us. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.